Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Wonder who wrote the book of love?
Tell me, who wrote the book of love? I've got to know the...
It is Rock and Roll Monday on the Savage Nation. Mood for love, so I'm going to play the Book of Love for a while, because the world is so full of progressives who have so much love in their heart. They just love freedom of speech. You know how much they love everybody, the progressives. They take over your city with bicycles, and if you try to go to work, they love you with a bicycle hammer or a bicycle chain. That's progressive love for you. Can I hear a chapter one? Or, oh, hold it. Chapter one is what? Turn it off already. This stinks. Welcome to the Savage Nation. As you well know, I am not a controversial talk show host. I'm one of those mild-mannered talkers who speaks the political correctness talk so that I get along and I go along. I'm a corporate kind of guy. I'm the empty suit in your neighborhood. I'm the smiling neighbor who plots to steal your wife. I'm the smiling neighbor who is just so nice, just so good. See, with me, what you hear is what you get. And many of you don't like it. But what you don't know is many of you do like it. In fact, far more of you love me than hate me. Nevertheless, things are difficult right now. And strangely enough, not so strangely enough, on Friday afternoon, I took Friday off. On Friday afternoon, it's 5 minutes to 5, the local radical left-wing judge appointed by Bill Clinton decided, after months of holding up this case that I filed against the Council on American-Islamic Relations, so-called, to drop the hammer against me, sensing weakness with the autism controversy. You see how far the conspiracy of the far left is operational in this country. It ranges all the way from the federal courts, all the way from the federal courts to your local city hall. It's all an interlocking left-wing conspiracy. It's a media-driven, legal-driven conspiracy. Then, of course, there are the outside groups funded by far-left radicals like George Soros and supporters of the far-left agenda, the communist agenda, the socialist agenda, if you will, who are trying to destroy free speech in America by going after me right now. Tomorrow it might be, I don't know, you. Could even be a liberal in 5 years. What they don't understand is that free speech is not free. What liberals don't understand who are attacking me right now is that today it's Michael Savage, and they're gloating. Oh, they're happy. They're very happy that they were able to use the poor parents of autistic children to attack me when I, in fact, have been more supportive of the most vulnerable children in our population than anybody else in the history of radio. That's correct. Me, Michael Savage. So what they did was they took a soundbite out of context, and they used the poor parents of autistic children to attack me. That's very clever. I must admit that David Brock and the others who are funded by these far-left radical groups are very clever devils indeed, in my opinion, by using poor children like this to advance their socialist, communist, one-world agenda. They're very clever fellows, but you know they're clever by a half. And as a matter of fact, they're too clever for their own good, which they'll find out in the long run. In the short run, they think they're counting their shekels. But in the long run, they're going to find out they're actually going to be not counting their shekels. They may be counting their time behind bars for what they're doing today. You say it's impossible? When you bend the laws of a free society, as they're bending the laws of a free society, in my opinion, to act as Stalinist agents, the day may come that we get a legitimate government in this country, a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, that actually protects free speech instead of using groups like this to destroy free speech. And that's all I want to say on that. But go to michaelsavage.com. Do me a favor, will you please? And you will see the case that I am talking about, because on Friday afternoon, as I said, the far-left radical judge here in San Francisco, Judge Ilston, appointed by none other than the very, very sound and honorable Bill Clinton, you know how good a man he was, one of the most honorable presidents America has ever seen, Bill Clinton, appointed this judge. And on Friday afternoon, in the midst of my troubles with this illegitimate attack upon me, Judge Susan Ilston decided to attack me by dropping my lawsuit against CAIR. Now, of course, she's given me the right to appeal one element of it, and the other element she said I cannot reappeal to her. But luckily, we still live in a free society. This is only stage one. I need about $400,000 to reach the next level of appeal. That's correct. I need to raise $400,000 in order to appeal my lawsuit against the Council on American Islamic Relations, which, by the way, is an unindicted co-conspirator in a federal anti-terrorism trial. Now, isn't that interesting that a liberal would side with an unindicted co-conspirator in an anti-terrorism trial against a native-born American who specializes in speaking out and speaking loudly what he believes to be true? And isn't it interesting that I was attacking Ahmadinejad, the Hitler of our time, when this group, CAIR, distorted what I said and made it sound as though I was attacking all Muslims? And isn't it interesting that over the weekend, radical Islamists set off bombs in Turkey, killing innocent moderate Muslims? They set off bombs in India, killing innocent Hindus. And the vermin in the media, the empty suits in the American media, chose to attack me instead of the radical Islamists. Now, why would they attack me instead of attacking those who set off these bombs? Why would they gloat over the attack upon me instead of saying I'm in a back savage in his lawsuit against CAIR because I don't like them and I think that they may be a front group for radical elements in this country? Why is it that you empty suits in the media go after Michael Savage? You want the answer? Because you're jealous and you're cowards. Because you don't have the guts to attack CAIR, and you don't have the guts to attack Ahmadinejad, and you don't have the guts to attack radical Islamists. You're all cowards. That's why we call you empty skirts. And let me tell you something else. You're not going to silence me. No matter how you try to side with the evil of this society, I will not be silenced. God put me here, and God is going to keep me here. And only when God wants me gone from the airwaves will I, Michael Savage, leave the airwaves. And I'll make it very clear to you again. You're not driving me out of radio. I'll drive you out of radio before you drive me out of radio. And I will expose CARE, and I will expose Media Matters as long as I have the money to do so. And so I'm asking you to go to michaelsavage.com, see what I wrote, see what the judge wrote, see what the case is about, and then send money to the Freedom of Speech Defense Fund. It's as simple as that. Now let's go along here. I got 1 minute to last here, for 1 minute right now, for one reason. Just before this show, I was on my flagship station in New York on WOR, on Steve Malzberg's show. And Steve is the only talk show host in America, the only one, who had the guts and the brains to understand why he should have Michael Savage on to tell his side of the story. You wouldn't expect that from the golfer, would you? The golfer is a front man for the oil industry and the Republican Party. The golfer is a doorman of the Republican Party. I don't care if he makes $380 million a year. Mussolini made more than the golfer. So what, I should respect money? He is a doorman. He's a doorman for the Republican Party. And what, his little lapdog there? You want me to respect him, that moron, that uneducated dolt? I don't respect Wallbanger. And you want me to respect the leprechaun? No, I'm all alone. You know why? Because they're frauds through and through. And there, I got it off my chest. You want to hear a little bit more? You will when I come back. Savage.
We can't let anything happen to Michael Savage, who joins us right now. Hello, sir. How are you?
Steve, thank you for having the guts to have Michael Savage on.
Well, I, you know, like I just got finished saying, Michael, and I gave a background to the case in anticipation of you coming here. We can't let them get to you, CARE, because if CARE gets you, then they'll go, you know, right down the list and they'll find me and they'll find others. And, you know, who'll need the fairness doctrine? They'll take care of it before Obama could do it.
Well, we know who they are. We know who funds them. In fact, we did an investigation of the funding of Media Matters. And guess what? Some of the same left-wing money from the far left that funds Media Matters also goes to CARE. This is an interlocking directorship, according to what I've read, of the far left in this country trying to destroy any opposition voices whatsoever. Now, if the liberals listening to your show, Steve, want to live in a country where speech can only come from one side, then they will soon be living in the ex-Soviet Union. They better think very carefully whether they want to live in that country.
All right, talk about the specifics, or as much as you can, of the suit being thrown out to round one going, I guess, to CARE. And I know Daniel Horowitz told the San Francisco Chronicle that he plans to file a new racketeering lawsuit. There was copyright infringement and racketeering charges, correct?
Yes. Remember, the first judge, Judge Elston, was appointed by Bill Clinton. The hand of death was all over this before we even submitted it. She's a far-left radical judge, in my estimation. Interestingly enough, Steve, she held this ruling for months. Look when she dropped the ruling. She dropped it on Friday at 5 to 5 p.m., at the same time I was assaulted by Media Matters by misquoting me on the autism controversy. I want you to show how deep the connection is of the left wing in this country. There is a vast left wing conspiracy. Make no mistake about it. They're all working hand in glove. It runs from the courts through the media to these outside pressure groups. Right now, okay, my competitors are laughing. They love it. The leprechaun, the wall banger, Alpha, they probably find this to be humorous. What they don't understand is that, unlike you, Steve, you understand very well that unless the wagons are circled, they're going to be picked off one by one. When they came for Michael Savage, they didn't raise their voice because they hated Michael Savage. When they came for Rush, they didn't raise their voice because they didn't like Rush. When they came for the wall banger, they didn't raise their voice, etc. And when they came for you, there was nobody left because everybody else had been silenced. We are living in a neo-fascist state, and it's being ruled by the left. And I cannot understand how people don't see this, Steve.
I have been proposing for quite some time now, especially when you filed your lawsuit, especially when CARE, you know, I get CARE's press releases every day. And, you know, it's funny, they tell the people exactly what to write, exactly who to write it to. And the robots, whatever small number there are, do it. And these executives, whether they're at radio stations or sponsors or companies, they get spooked and they say, oh. But somebody in public relations who understands this and gets this has to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to go around. I'm going to make my money by educating station managers, general managers, and probably just as important, sponsors, the ad agencies, the people who pay the money, the corporations, and the people who make these decisions as to who CARE is and how to be prepared for them to come knocking on their doors. Okay. Someone has to do that.
The Council on American-Islamic Relations. It would be wonderful if it was truly a Council on American-Islamic Relations. But when they take my comments about Ahmadinejad, the Hitler of our time, and make it sound as though I'm attacking Islam in general, they are the problem, not me. And what's amazing to me is that these corporate executives would rather cater to a group, CARE, that is an unindicted co-conspirator in an anti-terrorism trial. Let me repeat that. CAIR is still an unindicted co-conspirator in a major federal anti-terrorism trial, and yet these empty suits in radio and empty suits in advertising would rather side with people who would slash their throats than with Michael Savage. That's the country you're living in today, Steve.
Oh, believe me, I know that. And you know, although you and I don't always agree 100% on everything, you do talk about these issues, and you do, and so do I. I mean, I talk about these issues, and I'll keep saying jihad and Islamic fascist and Islamic fundamentalists and terrorists, no matter what the government says they don't think we should be saying, because when we give in to that, we're really in trouble. But look, there are many, the couple of people, atop of you and other talk show hosts who just don't want to touch this. They don't want to go near it because they don't want the problem.
Right. They're what I call non-controversial, controversial radio. They pretend to be controversial when all they do is attack Democrats. And they get away with it, of course, because the audience is kind of naive. The Democrats aren't the problem. They're just the opposing party to the Republicans. The Republicans aren't the problem. They're just the opposing party to the Democrats. We have enemies outside this nation that are so beyond comprehension for the average American that what do you think it's going to take for them to wake up to who the enemy is? Another 9/11?
Or a nuke in a city, God forbid.
And who will be attacked after that happens? Michael Savage or front groups for jihadists? I mean, who do you think will be in cahoots? Did you see the latest story that one out of three Muslim students in the U.K. agree that violence and murder is justified? That's one out of three in the United Kingdom.
Nuts, that's frightening. Frightening,
were
Michael.
Given a home by the English. They were welcomed into the nation, and they cannot wait to put a knife in the heart of the English. Is it different in America?
Well, you know, Fox did a special on honor killings, and I just happened to tune in last night in one of the reruns of it, and they gave a poll here in America that I think 25%, if I heard it right, 25% of Muslims in this country do not believe that they should assimilate. They do not believe that they should become part of the American culture.
I see. And that's why CARE is a good organization, or is that why CARE is a dangerous organization?
Why? Well,
which side do they take?
Yeah.
what side does CARE take on honor killings? Why don't you get them on your show? Ask them where they stand on honor killings.
I don't think they come on with me anymore, Michael. I've had too many of them on.
Ask them where they stand not only on honor killings, but on various and sundry other violence around the world. Radical Islamists just set off bombs in India, as you know, over the weekend, and in Turkey. Why is that happening, Steve? Why in India? Why against Hindus? Why in Turkey against moderate Muslims? What is the problem with radical Islam? Why is it that they think that their religion is superior and everybody else is inferior? Why do we tolerate this mentality in America? There's your problem. It's not me. I'm standing up. I'm like Paul Revere, standing up and speaking out. Only I'm not saying the British are coming. The British are coming. What I'm saying is the Islamists are here. The Islamists are here. And I know where they are. They're everywhere. And, Steve, one last note if I can.
Yeah, sure.
MichaelSavage.com website. I have a defense fund. This is what I need right now because I'm going to have to spend about $400,000 to $500,000 just to get it to the next level of appeal. That's the legal system we're in, Steve. Instead of my government doing this, I have to do it.
And the news is so bad out there. Look what we have running for office. Take a look. We got Alfred E. Obama on one side, the invented candidate, whose entire experience before the invented candidate was put before us. His entire experience was posting flyers on telephone poles in Chicago. The other side, we have I can't even say anything about McCain. I'm so amazed at this man. He wants to expand the Americans with Disabilities Act. That's right. That's a Republican for you. So if you like George Bush, you're going to just love John McCain because he's going to be George Bush prime. In fact, I think he'll be a little worse than George Bush. That's what's coming with McCain. So what a choice we have in this election. There's almost no hope out there. I have conservative friends who tell me they hope Obama wins so that we have only 1 4-year period and then we get another Ronald Reagan. And I said it's never going to happen because the Bush family destroyed the bench for any true conservative to arise in this country. They crushed them. They didn't let any true conservatives get to that level. There are some true conservative senators out there. Jim DeMint, South Carolina, one of the greats. There are others. But they're not given any support by this administration. They're reviled by the administration. George Bush is the best liberal president that the liberals have ever dreamed of. He wrote a check for $48 billion for AIDS in Africa. Not one vote. Were you asked if you want, in these times, in these troubling times, for the United States taxpayer to spend $48 billion on combating AIDS in Africa? Were you asked to vote on that? Who gave the president the authority to do that with the stroke of a pen? Then it got worse. The man is going to bail out Freddie Mac and Freddie Mae because he wants to support his friends on Wall Street. The person who needs to be investigated, in my opinion, is Henry Paulson, the Treasury Secretary. Henry Paulson was the former CEO of Goldman Sachs. Henry Paulson, in my opinion, has his hands all over the debacle, beginning with the collapse of Bear Stearns, and now the bailout of Freddie Mac and Freddie Mae. The fact of the matter is, you are going to pay for the largest bailout in American history under a so-called Republican, so-called conservative president. So how much worse could it get under Obama? Could it get worse? I don't know. How much worse could it be than this? What could he do next? Well, taxes will go up. My guess is that Obama would raise taxes by about 35% on the most productive citizens of America, crushing the economy once and for all. And that's why I don't really want to talk about it. John McCain supports expansion of Americans with Disabilities Act. So if you liked the Americans with Disabilities Act, you're going to love John McCain. Here's another one. Mob of bicyclists attacks and injures driver in Seattle. How many of you out there have been surrounded by these vermin on bicycles during rush hour? I have. And what did they do to a motorist who tried to get out of a street? They attacked him with chains and with clubs and beat him almost to death. And the fact of the matter is, a cop in New York who finally did what cops should have been doing all along, which is grab these snot noses by their hair and arrest them for what they are doing and take their bicycles and give them away to a homeless person. A cop did that in New York, and he lost his badge and he lost his gun because he finally stood up to these terrorists on bicycles. The country is out of control. And here in San Francisco, San Francisco, as I affectionately call it, well, here's what I wrote for you over the weekend. In the city of San Francisco this weekend, there were small protests against Michael Savage, a statement that was taken out of context by a far-left organization, and a few dozen protesters appear with pre-printed signs. And by the way, the signs were identical in form, in size, and in color to the signs that were used against me by the illegal alien marchers last spring. You hear that? Same exact printer. And yet in the same city of San Francisco, there are no protests against San Francisco's sanctuary policy for illegal aliens, which protects criminal illegal aliens. No one has protested a policy which has left a father and two sons dead, and he has a name. Mr. Bologna and his two sons were shot dead by an illegal alien who should have been deported, but our DA, Kamala Harris, originally refused to prosecute this case. Not one protest against the mayor. Not one protest against Kamala Harris. Instead, who did they protest? Michael Savage. And where is the mayor of the city by the bay? Where is any Tusum Newsom? Is he in City Hall, where he's supposed to be doing his job? No, he hid in Montana. He got married in Montana. Now think about that insult. Here is a man who wants to be the governor of the state of California, Newsom, and he chooses not to be married in this gorgeous state of California, but instead is married in another state. Think about that one. Just think about the lack of judgment on the part of any Tusum Newsom. And then he's off to Africa for a little safari. Now, what does that say about a mayor who chooses to marry out of state and yet wants to be the governor? The entire political structure of San Francisco is falling apart. As I said, there have been no protests calling for the corrupt district attorney to be fired. Yet she's responsible for releasing the gun-crazed illegal alien who executed an innocent father and his two sons, leaving a widow behind and a grieving mother whose heart is broken. Why do they protest? And who do they protest? Who do they say should be fired? Kamala Harris, the mayor of San Francisco? No, Michael Savage. Why? Because I dared attack the drugging of our children. Why is this happening? Answer, because liberalism is a mental disorder. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. My website is michaelsavage.com. I'll go to the callers in a moment. In fact, I'll go to Joel right now in New York City on WR. Joel, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
We're headed to third worldum. It just gets me so darn frustrated.
I disagree with you. We're not becoming a third world nation. In fact, last week I declared that America has already become a second world nation. A first world nation today would be Dubai. The average income for a 24-year-old there is $180,000 a year, tax-free. We are a second world nation as a result of the 30 million illegal aliens coming in here and bringing their third world culture with them, and as a result of the bank meltdown and the economic meltdown as a result of George Bush's fiscal irresponsibilities. The fact of the matter is we are a second world nation by all standards. We're not yet a third world nation. But if we legalize the illegal aliens, which is sure to happen under McCain or Obama, they will metastasize because they will be allowed to bring in their relatives, which means the 30 million will become 90 to 120 million, and then you can kiss your country goodbye.
Michael, I'm at this point. I feel like I should be kissing this country goodbye. I happen to be Jewish. I have no qualms about having a headstone with Hebrew on it. And it's only a matter of time before Iranian tanks are going over my tombstone like it did in Poland. And people laugh at me when they say this. But I say with all...
Well, you don't need Iranian tanks, or you need a left-wing Nazis to come and knock the tombstones over with some graffiti. That'll be next. But let's put aside the ethnicity of this situation. I am telling you because I speak to people from the ex-Soviet Union. I speak to people from the ex-Iran. I speak to people from the ex-Eastern Bloc. They all come up to me and they whisper, Michael, we're becoming just like the countries we left behind. Wouldn't it be ironic if in my lifetime, in my old age, I would have to emigrate to the ex-Soviet Union to find more freedom than I find in my own country, because the radical left wing in this country dragged us into a sort of semi-totalitarian state under the guise of fairness and under the guise of compassion and under the guise of progressive politics. Wouldn't it be ironic if I had to leave my own country and leave for the Soviet Union? Think about that one before you call me on the Savage Nation. Not possible. It can't happen here. Well, okay. Now, what should I do? Tell you some stories that you'd like to hear to entertain you on this Monday? How about these old stories, Love by the Sewer Plant? No, I'm not going to tell you that because I told you that a long time ago. In fact, we told it to you on April 25th of 08. How about the Nympho at Alley Pond Park? That sad story of the nymphomaniac and what happened to her after the boys took advantage of her. I don't really want to tell that story again. What I think I'm going to do when I come back, just for the sake of the fact that it's summer and I like to tell my stories in the summer, because the pace should be slower, even though it's gotten a little too quick for my liking. I think I'm going to tell you the story about my father's friend who got very successful, much more successful than he, much faster, and then lost everything, and then got cancer, and what he said to me in his last days. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I told you I'd tell you the story about the man who got the cancer, and then I have such good callers. I'm torn between whether to take the callers, this. It's open mic to Mike Monday. You're listening to top three radio shows, one of the top three in America, The Savage Nation, 8 to 10 million listeners a week. And when the new rating system comes out, my ratings are going to go even higher. I know that because I just know it. It's just as like I've never been polled in my life, nor have I met anyone who's ever been polled. I generally have never met a conservative who has ever been polled or who would ever answer a poll. That's why most of the polls are always wrong. The same with my ratings. My listenership is enormous. California, Charlie, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hey, Michael. I think the reason nobody's coming to your defense is because they want to keep you occupied with something to keep you off the true issues.
Well, we know that Media Matters is a front group for the Democrat Party. We understand that. They pretend to be a group that watches the media, but they only watch people who would criticize Obama or Pelosi or any of the other left-wing weasels. The fact of the matter is they're a front group for the far-left agenda in this country, and as a result, they have an agenda to push. They're entitled, I suppose, to push their own agenda, but not under the guise of being fair. When have they last attacked NPR? When have they last listened to any of the left-wing talkers and their vile hatred? The bile that comes out of the left in this country. How come they don't focus on them?
Well, I think the other side doesn't want it either because you focus on them also, you know, and it takes the pressure off of them.
I understand, but let me tell you, if I wanted to, there was a protest outside New York WOR last week, and then there was one here in San Francisco. There were maybe 40 people here over the weekend on Sunday. If I wanted to, I could bring 2,000 people outside studios in San Francisco. I could probably get 5,000 people outside WOR studios. I don't think I need to bring people into the streets. If they want rent-a-mobs and they want to use signs that are printed by Central Casting Printing, because I saw with my own eyes these posters that were being held by the so-called protesters were identical in size, in shape, in color, and in form to the protest signs that were made up for the protest against me by the illegal aliens. I know that there is a left-wing conspiracy going on in this country, and what they're really trying to do is silence any critic of Obama before the election. That's the big picture here. New York City, Chris, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, just want to say I'm from your hometown, the town of the Bronx. People like me and myself, we stand behind you 100%. We know you're standing up for us and keep doing the good work you're doing. Just really appreciate listening to your show. And
you know what? I'm on the side of right. I'm a good person. I've defended children all of my adult life, and I refuse to allow they're the protectors of children. That group, Media Matters, that actually invades the protector cells like me and replicates inside of me, pretending that they're the defenders of children when they are the poison of children in this country. I have tried to protect children from the evil drug industry ever since my brother was almost destroyed, in fact, was destroyed by doctors and the drug industry. And I'm not going to go into any further details. It is drugs that are the problem, my friend, and greedy pediatricians who are dying to write prescriptions, and demonic people inside the society who want to drug our children to death. I can't say any more than was said last week. In fact, I would like all of you listening to this show who are interested and are open-minded to go to michaelsavage.com. There's a box on the right side where there are 20 selections from the radio shows last week on my comments on children and on autism. After you have actually listened to what I actually said, and you still dislike me, I will accept that you're genuine. But if you're going upon this one extract that was taken out of context by this far-left radical group, then you're not an open-minded person. You are yourself being duped by them. That's my position. That's all there is to it. Houston, Texas. Amber, you're up on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Thank you, Mr. Savage. I just wanted to let you know I really appreciate everything that you've done to bring American parents to the forefront of the complete misdiagnosis and over-medication of all of our healthy children here. I myself have two boys. I'm a single mother. And because one of my boys was rambunctious, was misdiagnosed purposely, I prevented it. Thank you so much for the education that you've put out
there. Well, you know what? In my book, Healing Children Naturally, which I first published in 1982, and it's available now on my website, I have tried to warn parents that if Tom Sawyer were alive today, he would be declared ADD and put on Ritalin in order to control him. Any bright child, any real boy, any real active boy is immediately called a problem in a classroom by these teachers who are wanting to control them chemically. And they want to put chemical straitjackets on our boys. It's primarily boys, by the way, who are diagnosed as ADD, meaning any boy who shows the sign of being a boy is automatically suspect of being ill in this demented, feminist-ruled educational system of ours. We're also reaching a danger point in our educational system that I'm going to alert America to right now. In the ex-Nazi Germany, we well know, or some of you may not even know, children were encouraged by the state, that is by the Nazi state, to report on their parents, to say if the parents were not politically correct enough, if they weren't supportive of the Third Reich. Children were told to report this to the proper German authority. Let me explain what's going on in this country. You don't even understand what's going on and what's really at stake in this attack on me. What they're doing with our children is very diabolical. I have a case of a woman whose son was acting up in class. He was out of control. In fact, it got so bad that he took fecal matter out of his own pants and rubbed it on another boy's math book. The mother was called. She was very offended by what had happened, and she disciplined her son at home. She yelled at him. She told him he could never do that again. The very next day, Child Protective Services visited this mother, this poor single mother, and threatened to take her child away and put him in foster care. If you don't see what's going on here, I suspect your eyes have been clouded by your emotions. This is an attempt to have the state take control of our children. And I'm not going to give up. They're never going to drive me out of radio, and they're never going to make me speak a lie. I'm never going to be turned into a capon by these vermin. I'm never going to turn into a left-winger, I can guarantee you. I will do what I think is right. And all of my life, I've defended the defenseless. All of my life, I've stood for borders, language, and culture. All of my life, I've tried to defend the handicapped, the truly handicapped. But if you don't want to believe me, then you're a closed-minded person. Houston, Texas, Patrick, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, I just wanted to let you know that don't ever give up. Don't ever quit. You're the only person that I can think of anymore that tells the truth and gives it black and white the way it should be. There's a lot of people that believe in you, and I know you got to be getting threats and things from people that don't agree with what you're saying, but there's a lot of people searching for the truth, man, and I think you're telling it every day. I wait for your station to come on. I can't wait till you come on, and I hate when you go off the air at 8 o'clock. But don't ever quit. Don't ever give up, because I think there's a lot of people in this country that believe you. And if you ever told the trucker to shut down the bridges and the things, I'd put my truck out there with you guys, too, because you're speaking for the
truth. I hear you. I know. The truth is very painful. You got to understand that although we were promised that the truth shall set us free, it may not actually work out that way. We live in a society where the truth may not set you free in the way you imagine. In fact, the truth can become very expensive, and it may set you free in ways that you can't imagine. But I don't mean to speak in riddles. But although the Bible said, or was it Jesus who said, the truth shall set ye free? You just take a look at what truth has set me, huh? When I say things that are real and you know they're real and they resonate with you, because as Hemingway said, everybody understands that the truth has a certain ring to it. What do you think people tune into the show for entertainment? Some do. I admit that I have an entertainment gene in me. Absolutely. I'm also the most highly educated man in talk radio. Oh, you may not want to hear that, but it's a fact of reality. You should see the hate in the media right now by people who don't even know my background or what books I've written. Do you know that I've published over 20 books in the health field prior to becoming a talk show host? I earned a very, very difficult to earn degree from the University of California at Berkeley, 2 master's degrees and then a PhD from Berkeley. I've done amazing things in my life, and I'll be darned if I'm going to let these people rewrite my life for me. They're not going to do it. I will have the last laugh. You know, I'm currently working on getting my autobiography out. It's sort of an autobiography. It's all the radio stories of my life that I've told over the years collected in one volume. And it now begins with the autism controversy, because that's what people want to hear, my side of the story and how I was misquoted. What's interesting to me is that in my introduction, which I wrote yesterday, late at night, I said nobody's going to write my life story for me. They're not going to rewrite my life. I am going to write my life. I'm going to set the record straight, and I'm going to publish that book in time for the holidays. I hope to have it out in November, and I hope that you'll read my side of the story before you rush to judgment. Right now, there's a hangman's noose out there from the far left, and they're using these poor parents as pawns in their game.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Monday on the Savage Nation. Turn on, tune in, drop in, 1-800-449-8255. Turn on the radio, tune in to your local station, and drop in by calling the call-in number, 1-800-449-8255. Turn on, tune in, drop in. So there are many topics that we can talk about. I can talk about my particular problems, my topics. I don't want to do it. I did it for an hour. If you just tuned in, you'll catch it a little later on. You go to michaelsavage.com to see my actual positions on these situations and do what you have to do. That's all there is to it. We're living in an America where virtually any statement you make can be taken out of context, edited, and made you look bad if they wish. And what's amazing to me is that we have a district attorney in San Francisco, Kamala Harris, she has a name, who has not prosecuted with the death penalty cop killers. She released an illegal alien from prison, actually from arrest, several months before he went out and killed a father and two innocent sons. And there were no protests against her. No one calling for her firing or dismissal. Instead, the rent-a-mob, fomented by George Soros' front group Media Matters, came after Michael Savage. But I'm used to this. And if you think I'm not used to it, you're wrong. The truth hurts. And the fact of the matter is, there has been no greater defender of the innocent child than Michael Savage. Those of you who've listened to me loyally for 15 years know this. You know that it's both personal and political, my protection of children. And to think that I'm going to let to a person that I'm not, you're mistaken. I'm not going to give up. I will continue to speak out the best I know how and just let the chips fall where they may. Whatever happens, happens. It's in God's hands, not mine. God gave me the microphone, and if God wants, he'll take the microphone away from me. The day I cease to speak the truth, the microphone shall be taken away from me. Thus far, it hasn't happened. I may lose a few stations here and there, but overall, this ship is not going down. As in any other battle, you take damage. As in any other battle, there is damage to be taken. There's no question about it. But the other side is going to be damaged as well. They just don't know it. They think it's a one-way war. What they don't understand is that it's a two-way war. And one day, the finances of Media Matters will be investigated by the proper governmental authority. One day, someone in the government will ask why such large salaries are being... How is it that a nonprofit group like this can afford to pay them several hundred thousand dollars a year in an economy like this? And moreover, where did the money come from? And moreover, if this money is coming from George Soros and other left-wing political groups that support Democrats, should they lose their tax-free status? Of course they should, in my opinion. If an organization is that political, they have no right to a tax-free status by any interpretation of tax law. But I have no Republican senator to go to. I have no Republican congressman to go to demand this investigation of Media Matters. Instead, once again, I ask you to do it. And I ask you to do other things as well. You can support your local stations. You can support your local sponsors. If you're a local person who has a business anywhere in this country, you can help me. You can keep me on the air. Call your local station and say, by God, I like that Savage. I'm going to advertise on your local station. How much are ads? You can do that. There's a lot of things you can do to keep my show alive. I'm just not disappearing. It's that simple. When God wants me in heaven to give him some trouble, he'll call for me. Right now, he can do without me. 1-800-449-8255. Bernadette, New York City, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, I'm in the Catskills, and I'm saying don't give up, Michael. Speak the truth, and don't give up, because persecution is the price for speaking the truth. And it might mean death eventually, but keep it up.
Well, let's not hope it means death. I mean, I haven't enough of that, but I have a stack of those going back 15 years, but... That you learn to live with if you're outspoken in America. Because if you think that freedom of speech is free, my friend, you're mistaken. Freedom of speech is very expensive. Okay, let's talk about any other topic you want. Oh, I promised a story. This is as good a time to tell it as any because I meant to tell this story. Now, as you well know, those of you who listened for many years, I've thus far had a very rich and varied life. But as I've come to realize, every day of any man's life is an adventure. You may lead a humdrum life, but what you should come to be aware of is that every day contains within it the chance for joy, compassion, and redemption. What does that mean? It means that as humble a thing as going to the local market and listening to what's going on around you, listening, seeing can open up your eyes to a whole world around you, just as the zoologist will look at a plant and see so many things that the ordinary person can't see, or the ornithologist will look at the bird and see things that we can't see, or the insect specialist will look at a humble ant and see thousands of things that we can't see. A humble ant? Did you ever look at an ant under a microscope? Did you ever look at a fly's eye under a microscope and see what a humble fly holds for you? It's the same in your everyday life. And so what I'm getting at is our life is as interesting or as dull as you want it to be. Even if you lead a humdrum life, you can have a very exciting day if you only open your eyes and open your ears. And in that regard, I have a very interesting life because I listen and I learn. And so I hope the stories don't, you know, end. I don't think they're going to end. How can stories in a person's life end if every day is a new volume? That's what I'm getting at. Of course, there are certain peaks and valleys in the story. Some are more exciting than others. So the story I'm going to tell you occurred when I was a young man, first a kid and then a young man. And it was about a man who grew up as one of my father's best friends in a very poor neighborhood in New York City. They were immigrants together. Their parents came over. They came over, I think, maybe on the same boat, or they met each other in the slums of New York. And they both had a very tough life, and they worked their way up little by little, as the immigrants have to do and as they struggle in the society. And this man went into a business that took off at a certain point like a rocket. He hit a fad in a certain business, and he started to make a great deal of money, and he moved way beyond our family. While we lived in an attached house in Queens, New York, an attached brick house, he had the money to move his family to a detached house. Remember how important that distinction was in those days. It's like the Buick LeSabre as opposed to the Buick Roadmaster. Well, God forbid you a Rockefeller, you bought a Cadillac, if you can imagine. That's how people used to grade themselves in those days by their success, you know, their status, cars and houses. I don't suppose it's much different today. It just isn't as easy to figure out in some regard, not on the road anyway. Anyway, so he moved to this detached house in Roslyn, New York. And it was a beautiful house. It had its own garden all around it. We only had a little strip of grass in the backyard, a little teeny one in the front. And the carpet was wall to wall, and it was pink. And he was a big cigar smoker. And we go over and visit, and I had a very good time. He would gloat, you know, with the cigar and lord it over my father. And we'd leave. My father never said anything against him. But, you know, I could see in his eyes that he was a little, let's say, lost that little battle at that time. You know how men are. I mean, men are competitive. Even if they love their friend, if their friend does better than them, there's a degree of envy in every human being. It's just one of the cardinal sins. As years went on, the man's business continued to thrive. And then I left home. I moved away from New York City. I went and did my thing collecting plants, working for my graduate degrees. Thousands of miles away. I was living 6,000 miles away, then 9,000 miles away in the Fiji Islands. And lo and behold, on one of my trips back to New York when I was already a father myself, I had heard that this man's business had collapsed entirely. The fad that he had rode like a wave had died. Women were no longer buying that particular product. And the man who had a chain of successful wholesale stores lost everything. He lost everything, and it was so fast that he wound up living where he started, on the Lower East Side of New York, in a poor relative's apartment with his wife and the relative's family, back where he started in a one-room apartment. And that's where I come in. I come back from one of my trips to the Fiji Islands. I'm a young man in my, I don't know how old I must have been. I don't remember, 25, 30. I don't remember what age I was already anymore. And there he was sitting in my father's house. And I loved this man. I loved him like another father. I loved all my father's friends. And you know how it is when you're a kid in a very close-knit community. You tend to love the people like they're your own. You know, we all grew up so closely together. There was never a bad word between him and my father. Man, he's sitting there shrunken up in the chair in my living room where he had lost everything. And he looks up at me, still smoking a cigar. And he was shrunken in the chair. And he looks up at me in his eyes and he says, Michael, look what happened to me. Look what happened to me. And his eyes were like wandering left and right. He didn't understand what happened to him. And he said, I'd rather I have cancer than what God did to me. Lo and behold, I soon left New York. I went back to do what I did, which is collecting plants. And I heard that 2 years later, he died from one of the most rapidly invasive forms of brain cancer. Be careful what you say. God hears the truth, but waits. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Well, that was a true story. I mean, life has a lot of really amazing stories, and I've told you many over the years. I have about 60 of them collected now. And I've been editing them, you know, the whole summer. It's funny about me. No matter how I'm attacked, I work anyway. No matter what's swirling around me, I can still be creative. I wouldn't say I'm being more creative, but I bury myself in my work. I don't let people really get to me when I know I'm right. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but I'm not wrong. I know my history in this situation. And I think eventually the truth will rule. It's going to take a while. You know, I even saw it on the weekend. I saw some of the local TV stations here in San Francisco running the story. Naturally, they showed the protesters because TV shows specialize in scandal. That's what they are. They're scandal shows. So naturally, they see a protest, and anything that's left-wing, they go for. Five picket signs already. They shoot it at an angle to make it look like 500. You know, if it's a red, white, and blue support for our troops, suddenly the vermin in the media aren't there. They're too busy. The pill-taking, empty men with pancake makeup, the pretty boys in television. They're all pretty boys, every last one of them. They should be chorus boys instead of TV newsmen, in my opinion. But the chorus boys are only there for the left-wing agenda. That's why they're picked. The chorus boys in television are chosen because they will do the bidding of the left-wingers behind the scenes, the guys with the big glasses, little Karl Marxes, you know, the little Karl Marxes in the back room use the pretty boys. So the pretty boys go out there. But something strange happened over this weekend. They would show the protest, and they would show they would show what they were saying about me and this and that. And they all concluded in a strangely fair manner by saying, Michael Savage says he was really directing his comments at the drugging of the children and at the drug companies. So my message is actually getting out. Now, the reason this is happening is that even pretty boys have children. Even pretty boys at some part of their mind, even the chorus boys in the media, come to understand that they don't want their sons drugged. At some point, even the chorus boy has to look his child in the eye and say, you know what? I don't want my kid to be declared ADD when he's not. He's just a normal kid. Maybe Savage is right. So they throw that in at the end. So little by little, I am starting a national dialogue, which is what I hope to do. I'm starting a national dialogue about the overcategorization of our children into these categories and the drugging of our children. And it's going to be, at the end of the day, I'll be seen as the Paul Revere of this as well. I've been doing this since 1980. I told you I wrote Healing Children Naturally. It was published in 82. Now, how come I wrote about it then? How come I was attacking the drugging of our children in 82 if I'm such a bad guy? Don't you understand that this is all a media-driven thing in order to silence a critic of the radical left wing in this country? Don't you get it? Okay, that's it. I said what I want to say. Scott in San Antonio, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, hi, Doctor. I just wanted to first say that this thank you is about 6 years overdue, and I guess given the recent developments, it's time it was given. My son in 2002 was diagnosed as being autistic, and the neuropediatricians down here and his developmental pediatricians down here wanted to put him on Risperdal and Halidol. And
oh, my. Now, did you hear the show last week with Dr. Bregan, the psychiatrist, said Risperdal is a toxic drug that destroys our children's brains. It was designed to control the most manic schizophrenics in mental hospitals.
Well, the limited research my wife and I had done, we learned that on our own back in 2002.
What kind of pediatrician would put a little child on that? They're criminals, these doctors!
Well, you know, this is where the thank you comes in, though, doctors. We were looking for alternative treatments and, you know, thinking there's got to be a better way take care of a little boy, a beautiful little boy, you know. We live in San Antonio, and we aren't people of great means, but we found a doctor in Richmond, Virginia, who is doing a lot of what they would consider alternative therapies. And I took a frequent flyer ticket, and I flew up to Norfolk, Virginia, and that little boy and I drove up Highway 64 to Richmond, Virginia, to see this doctor. And you know, context is everything, but you know, at the time, you know, as a dad, you're wondering, are you doing the right thing? You know,
what does this have to do with me? I'm glad the story ends well. Am I involved in this in some way or not?
Yes, you are, absolutely, because I was driving up that highway wondering if I'm doing the right thing, spending my money on alternative treatment. And the doctor told me to do something, and I'd never heard of you before, and you were on the radio, and you were talking about healing children and, you know, healing children without drugs. And it really hit home at that time that I was doing the right thing, and it gave me hope.
And how does it work out? So your son was spared the scourge of Risperdal, which would have destroyed his brain for life. And today I hope he's better?
He's in the third grade. He's mainstreamed. He got straight A's.
The doctor should be put in prison. Whichever doctor told you to put your child on risperidone, the man should be put in prison, or the woman. Pediatrician? That's some pediatrician. You know, doctor first, do no harm. They took that out of the medical school curriculum. Now it's doctor, see if you can make an extra buck. God bless you and your child, and thank you for standing up for Michael Savage. This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.
If I were a rich man, yeah, all day long I'd biddy biddy bum. If I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work hard.
It is the Savage Nation. Monday.
If I were a bitty, bitty rich.
This is a bad version, but it's funny in its own way.
I'd build a big, tall house with rooms by the dozen right in the middle of the town. A fine tin roof with a real wooden floors below.
Okay, wear sunscreen, you hear? McCain, wear sunscreen. That's now passing for statesmanship. We had Winston Churchill telling us this is not the end of the beginning, but the beginning of the end or whatever. And he says, wear sunscreen. This is the state after George Bush. Everyone's tongue-tied. They can't speak anymore. Unbelievable. Well, Obama, to his credit, is a great speaker. There's no question the man has a great basso voice and he can speak well. The problem is what comes out of his mouth. But he is an articulate speaker. So, I mean, if you like soft Marxism, you're going to like Barack Hussein Obama. And I'm afraid that there are more have-nots than haves, and the have-nots always want to take from those who are more successful than them. It's a history of the human race and also a history of the human condition. The have-nots always want to take what's not theirs until eventually there's nothing left to take because the have-nots don't have the wherewithal to build it on their own, so they just take it. Look at Zimbabwe. You have a maniac running Zimbabwe named Mugabe, and the UN does nothing. Anyway, that's a separate story. There's another couple of stories. You know the Ramos Campion case, the two Border Patrol agents who shot a drug dealer in the behind while apprehending him, who were given extraordinarily high sentences of 11 years. It was so outrageous that even Dianne Feinstein and Republicans joined to demand that the case be commuted, their cases be commuted. George Bush will not move on this. George Bush wants our Border Patrol agents locked up for 11 years who did their job. And just today they got a heart attack because the appeals court turned down Ramos and Campion, the Border Patrol agents. I don't know what's going on in my country anymore. I have no idea how George Bush gets away with what he gets away with. I warned you 6 months ago. I warned you on this very program that if you think this man has jumbled things up in his first 7.5 years, you've seen nothing yet. I said, because in his last months, he's going to do things you can't imagine. $48 billion for AIDS in Africa. Bailing out Fannie Mae and Fannie Mac with taxpayer money. It's unheard of. It's the biggest bailout since the socialist president, FDR, under a so-called Republican president. And there's not a word of protest, for example, from the ushers of the Republican Party on talk radio. And you wouldn't expect it in Congress. There actually were a few voices opposing Bush's bailout. One was Jim DeMint of South Carolina, one of the true conservative Republicans left. And many Republican parties said, no, you can't do this. This is socialism, Bush. You can't bail out your friends on Wall Street. It's impossible. You're not giving anybody any incentive to do right anymore. You're saying do wrong, steal, and we'll bail you out anyway. So the currency itself is now threatened. The currency itself is now threatened by George Bush's insane fiscal policies. Did you hear this morning on the wall? Golfer told you gas is good. The price is good at $4 a gallon. Told you that the oil companies are your friend. So believe me, I have plenty of enemies in the Republican Party. Don't assume it's all the left. Just don't make that mistake. Because the Republican Party is a different form of the Democrat Party, but one and the same. They're all one and the same. They're two parties that are having a party on the American taxpayer. That's all. I don't even want to talk about it. It's boring already. Who's this loser that Obama just picked that came up on Drudge? Kane? Look at this guy. He looks like he's out of a bad movie from the 1940s, like a film noir. See, this guy's... Who is this Kane? Obama Kane? McCain running against Kane? Why doesn't he just pick Abel? Why doesn't Obama pick a man named Abel so then you could say it's McCain versus Abel? At least it would be syllogistically interesting. McCain versus Abel. Who's... I can't wait to see who McCain picks. I can't wait to see that loser. So Virginia Governor Tom Kaine's biography dovetails with that of Senator Barack Obama. Oh, God. All the president's men. Who is this guy? I never heard of this man. What did he do? Spanish-speaking former Catholic missionary? Kaine is a former Spanish-speaking former Catholic missionary. Oh, a civil rights lawyer. Okay, I got it. The racket. The civil rights racket. I get it. His proponents say he can bring in four key groups: Virginians, Catholics, working class whites, and Hispanics. What are they, insane? They think automatically every Catholic's going to vote for Obama because of this guy that no one ever heard of? He has no foreign policy experience, and all he is a left-wing activist. So if that's a qualification, go ahead, by all means. So it's McCain versus Kaine. Who is who is McCain going to pick as a running mate? Dick Cheney again? Could Dick Cheney run again? I wonder. I know you can't be president after 8 years, but could vice president run for vice presidency again? That would be a very exciting Republican ticket. McCain, Cheney. That would be very, very hot ticket to vote for. Who should McCain pick, doofus? I don't know who he should pick. And you think about it, who's out there? I mean, the obvious choices wouldn't want to be anywhere near him. But our would-be leader on the Republican, he came out telling us to wear suntan lotion. After 2 weeks ago, it was declared suntan lotion actually does nothing to protect against cancer. But he don't know that. That information didn't get to McCain yet. I've had five, but don't tell me I'm attacking him now on the melanoma. I've had five removed, so shut your mouth. Just shut your mouth, you left-wing vermin, you. Okay? You know, I'll put it right down your throat, you liars, you. Now, you attack me on children when I defend them. I'm the son of an immigrant. You say I hate immigrants. You left-wing rats, you communist white lawyers, you. You're the one stirring up all this hatred, you vermin. You're right out of the Soviet Union, and one day you'll get yours. And if it isn't me, it'll be somebody else. Now, let me continue. McCain is an idiot. I know somebody who raised a fortune for the Republicans for decades. He's a billionaire. And I asked him about McCain. He said he's as stupid as he looks. And that really frightened me. McCain is a fall guy. McCain was picked by the Republican Party to lose. That's why he's running the worst campaign in history. The worst in history. Now, I can't imagine who McCain is going to pick as a running mate, but I can guarantee it'll be somebody that will destroy any chance he might have. They want this guy to take a fall. So now play John McCain on suntan lotion. Go ahead.
I want to, again, urge all Americans to wear sunscreen, particularly this summer. Stay out of the sun as much as possible. Wear sunscreen. And if you ever have any slight discoloration...
Turn them on. That's it. I can't take it anymore. Wear sunscreen. 2 weeks ago, it came out the sunscreen protects against certain rays, but not cancer-causing rays, and that you're only doing yourself a disservice by using sunscreen. The answer is to stay out of the sun. That I agree with him. But the sunscreen already, the genius didn't get that information. It didn't trickle down to Arizona. Didn't he once boast that he doesn't use the internet? He can't type on the internet? What is going on in this country? Four times I had the head already peeled they're sadistic, most of these. But you got to go to them. They cut your... I'm in such pain. They get either freeze it off with nitrous oxide, which leaves me sick for days, or they cut... Why do they say there's no side effects tonight? It's not nitrous oxide. What am I talking about? When they freeze it off your head, I forgot what they use. I'm sick for 4 days because it attacks my immune system. There's no side effects. Just go out in the street like nothing happened. All right, so I have four times now in the head from the years in Hawaii, sitting and looking at the zoo too long on the bench without a hat. I wear big hats as a result. I wore a big hat now for 30 years, but I get too much sun anyway. It's all Russian roulette, everything in your life. What, are you going to protect yourself against everything? Every burp they watch. 30 years old, they run around like big sissies in the hand. Oh, every quick, oh, I got a pain. Eh? Every man, oh, I'm a little gained weight. I got a little fat in my... I ate a burger, I should die. I was in the sun, checked the watch, I ran, my heartbeat. Oh, come on already. You know, get into life. Step into life. They're afraid to make love. They're afraid not to make love. They run. They look at a clock. This is the generation. Self-obsessed narcissists. And if, God forbid, they get a quirk in the left side, they're sure it's a devastating coronary they're having. They grab the chest every 2 minutes in the car. This is the generation of neurotics that were created by the medical establishment. It's amazing what they've done to masculinity in this country. Wear sunscreen, don't do this, don't do that, don't eat this, don't eat that, don't have a drink, drink green tea. I wrote the book on health food, so don't tell me that I don't know what I'm talking about. I wrote 20 books in the health area. And what do I do in my personal life? I bicycle, I don't eat fats, if I get a pain, I think I'm dying. Let's see, what else? I mean, we're all the same. We're all victims of our own mortality. It's the way of all flesh. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to live forever? Let me ask you something. The tombstone says that you're born in this year and you die. After a certain age, does it matter if you had 2 more years on it? What are you going to do with the extra 2-3 years that you gain when you think about it? What do you gain by that? You know, I never understand people who say to me, you should really enjoy yourself because life is short. I never understand that one. I mean, of course I want to enjoy myself like anybody else. We all want joy. It's impossible to find, but we all want it. We can have the illusion of joy. You know, we can have the illusion of joy. That's very easy to have. We all get it temporarily. But what do you mean by enjoy your life because life is short? I don't get that. What, do you take your joy with you to the next world? Is like a joy quotient, like a bank account? And when you get before God, you say, well, look, I got this much in my joy account. I don't get it. What do you mean? If you have more joy, you go farther in heaven than if you had less joy? I actually, in a certain way, I believe that the Buddhists are right, that life is suffering. All of it, from the beginning to the end, is one wheel of suffering. The wheel creaks around and you're on the wheel. You are the wheel. And it's just a matter of limiting the suffering to as little as possible. The truth of the matter is the next man is suffering just like you are, only pretends he isn't. Why? The media drives that. For millennia, man existed knowing that life was suffering and his reward was in the next world. Millennia, the church taught that. That was the church teaching, was that life is suffering and that's what you got to put up with and that's the end of it. Then all of a sudden, we're living in this new age in America where everybody's happy but you. They're all on happy pills. They're all popping happy pills. They're all going here, going there, getting invited here, and they're all thrilled. And when they get to the place they've been invited to, you're telling me they're ecstatic? After they high-five each other for how great they are, tell me what they feel when they get into their bedroom at night. Tell me what happens when the man takes off his suit and the woman takes off her dress and they lay down and go to sleep and the lights go out. Tell me they're not feeling what you're feeling. They're not concerned about the very same things you're concerned about. So at a certain point, you got to step into life and that's it. But the Buddhists are right in another way, too. And I'm no Buddhist. Don't get me wrong. It's just the poetry in Buddhism is wonderful. Some of the writings are written by very wise men. It's a collection of writings. They're like aphorisms if you actually read them. You know, a man who chases after wealth and fame is like, I love that. A man who chases after wealth and fame and love affairs is like a man who walks with a candle in the wind. Eventually he will be burned. Stuff like that. I mean, come on, this is good stuff. So life is too short, so you're supposed to be a hedonist. I got to admit, though, when you're a hedonist and it works, it really is good. It really does work for a while. It's phenomenal what it does. The hormones, you got to analyze why we're programmed that way. I took two friends to dinner Saturday night, two male friends. Ooh, he took two male friends. Why don't you put that now? Michael went to dinner with two friends. Ooh, blah, blah, blah. Michael Savage went to dinner. He was seen with two friends. Blah, blah, blah. That means blah, blah, blah. I took two male friends to dinner on Saturday night. Great guys. And we were talking about different things. Then we started to goof around. And I said, you know, why do we all feel better after sex? How does that work? So one of the guys is a doctor and of a certain intelligence quotient, very high, as all of my friends are. And he said, no matter how smart you think you are, it comes down to the same thing the teenager is driven by, which are hormones, if you're lucky. Now, luckily, all of these men are over 50, but they're all driven with the same blessed libidos. I don't know one man is. I know a friend 80 years old. He has a libido of a 13-year-old. I don't know what it is, and he doesn't take vitamins. I'm blessed with friends with very high libidos. I only hang around with people with high libidos. I'm not interested in anybody else. But I'm getting. So how come after the big O, you have the big O? Why do you feel better for a day or two? What is? How do you explain that? Why did nature set that up? It's simple. It's high school biology. It's set up that way so you seek out a woman to have babies. Because if that wasn't the greatest feeling on earth for a human, for a male, why would he seek out a woman and have a baby? God wants you to do that. He wants you to pollinate and go forth. Truly within the bonds of marriage, there's no question about it. After all, you're not the mayor of San Francisco. You're supposed to have a child within marriage. I don't mean this mayor. I'm talking about others and making allegations in regard to other people in politics, such as wonderful former vice presidential candidates and people from other parts of the country on the Democrat side who have illegitimate children all over the planet. But having put the political aside, the fact of the matter is God has programmed you to have a high libido. I also have found that the high libido is interesting to me. High libidos are found in very intelligent men and also in very, very low intelligent men. I've not found the high libido in average men. A lot of average men lose their sex drive like in their 30s. They become, who cares? Don't need it. I don't understand it, but that's average guy. That's what happens to him. I don't need it. Never feel nothing. But guys I know, like driven nuts on this subject. And they've been this way all their lives. And also you find it in the dumb, the same thing. Unfortunately, the dumb have children. And the smart generally don't have too many. That's the problem today. That's why you have Obama and McCain running for office. I'll be right back. Savage. Said that a conservative can't be a hedonist. Where is that written? I don't understand that. Where is it written that you can't be a man who loves America, borders, language, culture, and be a hedonist? Why is that incompatible? I don't get it. I don't understand. I think I'm going to start a new movement, Hedonistic Conservatives for America, or something like that. We'll have a great rally one of these days. Okay, Florida, Carl, you're up on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Michael, the life is short thing, that comes from the if it feels good, do it kind of a moniker. It almost kind of similar. Doesn't it seem like similar to you?
I don't know. I don't quite get it. Life is short. Enjoy yourself. I don't quite understand that one. Look, we all want to enjoy ourselves. Increasingly, it's difficult to do so in the world we're living in. People are afraid to say anything that's really on their mind, blah, blah, blah. But I don't get it. Like, if you enjoy yourself, do you get a reward in the next life for that or what?
Better to be happy about the try to enjoy life and try to ignore some of the negativities that we can't control.
We got a transvestite transsexual protest in San Francisco Saturday. Listen to this. The homosexuals and lesbians had a big dinner, a fundraiser on Saturday in one of the hotels, and they left out the transsexuals for political reasons. So outside the hotel, the transsexuals were protesting and against the homosexuals. That's San Francisco for you. While the mayor was getting married in Montana, and the district attorney was nowhere to be seen. That's San Francisco today. It would take George Gross to make the painting of this city. George Gross loved his work. Next to Bruegel, he was one of my favorite comic artists. Why did I laugh at that? Because it's funny. It's true. Remember Bruegel when you first saw him in college with the baker and everyone was poking someone? Like when you first look at a Bruegel painting, it looks like a normal market scene. And then you look carefully. Everyone's giving someone a jab, a stick, a rob, a pull, a stick, a burn, a bang. Everyone's hurting somebody else in the marketplace. As a kid, I mean, you got to love that. I guess every one of them should have been on Ritalin because they were all bad Dutchmen or something. They were all doing something wrong. They were acting out. Bruegel himself, actually. You look at all of the painters from that era, they should have been put on medication by the quacks in the medical establishment. I mean, who else would spend so much time with a brush and various colored oils on a canvas unless they were mentally ill? All of painters, every painter should be put on a drug. Well, any musician also, I mean, who devotes himself to trying to get a note correctly is probably an obsessive compulsive. And any fine artist actually should be declared some kind of ADD or ADHD and put on a drug, especially when they're a child. Catch it early. Nip it in the bud. Make sure you treat early. See your doctor. Consult a medical professional. If you have a gifted child, consult a medical quack. If that child is obsessed with making a drawing too well or making certain that he can do anything else too well, why, unto itself, that's perfectionism, which is a crime in America today. It's only the ordinary that rules. In fact, the stupider and the clumsier, the better. in the new America so that we could have either Obama or McCain for the presidency, and then 60 million illegal aliens in a few years, and before long, boom, you're living in Tijuana. What could be better? It's a globalist dream, a dumbed-down population that can't stand up to them.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I want to, again, urge all Americans to wear sunscreen, particularly this summer. Stay out of the sun as much as possible.
We arranged a meeting and a mutually agreed to a meeting. I have been a great admirer of the Dalai Lama, and I look forward to the opportunity of meeting an individual who is a transcendent international role model and hero. And
come on, get off it. What do you mean a transcendent role model? Get out of here with this. Come on, get him off the show. Bush, it's unbelievable. Obama goes to Germany, and this one goes to a German restaurant. Obama meets world leaders, and McCain chooses to meet the Dalai Lama. Unbelievable to me, the Dalai Lama. I mean, Tibet has great national interests at stake in our relations with Tibet. I love the liberals. They have a bumper sticker. The left side says free Tibet. The right side says no war. Now, how can you free Tibet without war? I don't understand it. How can liberals on one side of the bumper say no war and the left side free Tibet? Who's oppressing Tibetans? Chinese. How would you suggest we free them from the grip of China? With the hydrogen bomb, idiots? This is why I say liberalism is a mental disorder. Don't you get it? There's no thinking involved. It's just sort of like sheeple. No war. Free Tibet. No oil. No oil as they ride around in their car. Morons. Morons, dummies. We get the kind of leadership we deserve. That's all I can say. All right, so there are many topics out there. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Again, if you want to help, go to michaelsavage.com. And I need to raise $400,000 straight out for the appeal. And I'm going to appeal it. I'm going to appeal the CARE case. I'm going to fight back against Media Matters on the distortion of my stance on autism. I haven't even begun to fight with them yet. Believe me, they haven't seen what's coming. They haven't seen anything yet. They think that they can just make things up about me, take me out of context, try to destroy me. Let them have fun. Let them do more. Let them keep doing more. The enemies of free speech, and who funds them? Who is Media Matters? Go to michaelsavage.com because we hired a private investigator who did a little Media Matters funding background for your exclusive readership on the Savage michaelsavage.com. The most prominent group involved in the enemy of Michael Savage is the Democracy Alliance. Sounds good, right? And who is the Democracy Alliance? George Soros, Peter Lewis, Mark and Susie Tompkins Buell. These are all major backers of the far left wing of the Democrat Party, including silent wealthy donors to liberal and left wing causes, mainly in Hollywood. I don't have the time to go through it. These are the same people who put money into Air America, the flop. The group, the flops on the left, that nobody wants to listen to. They thought that they could compete with me by creating a network called Air America. Every one of them flopped. No one wants to listen to that garbage. So it's a pretty good study here. Who are the direct donors to Media Matters? Oh, look. How do you like this? Many of Media Matters funders donated to other groups through the Tides Foundation. Now, doesn't that connect to the ketchup lady? Who is the Tides Foundation? Why, that is, I think, the ketchup lady. Did you know that the Tides Foundation gave money to the pro-Castro group, United for Peace and Justice? Did you know that the Tides Foundation gave money to CAIR? Did you know that the Tides Foundation gave money to the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee, CARE, Global Exchange, PETA? In other words, all of the wonderful groups that you know are so honest and honorable are after Michael Savage. Who else gave money to Media Matters? A group called Schuman Center for Media and Democracy. Or are they a recipient of the money? I think they're either a recipient. Anyway, they're a sister kind of group. Oh, the Barbara Streisand Foundation, $35,000. I don't have the time to read this for you, but I suggest you go to michaelsavage.com and take a look at who funded the group that's smearing me. Take a look at the group that is smearing Michael Savage and how it all traces back to the top of the Democrat Party and how fundamentally this is about the presidential race as much as it is about anything else. And you have some names up there to look at, too. There's an overlap between Bill and Hillary Clinton staffers and Media Matters. The following individuals have worked both for Media Matters and the Clintons. Dennis Yedwab, Mandy Vlas, that's Brock's personal assistant, God help her, and veteran consultant to Democrat campaigns, including Gore's 2000 campaign. Neil Lattimore, Media Matters Director of Special Projects and Senator Clinton's press secretary during the 90s. Kelly Craighead, top advisor to David Brock during MM's formation and close friend of Hillary, also top advisor to DA. So if you want to see a link between the far left and who's attacking me, just go to michaelsavage.com and you can spread it around the internet. We paid an investigator. This is step one on Media Matters funding background. We are next going to go to friendly senators and congressmen, if we could find any, and demand a federal investigation of their tax-free status. Why? Because they're a nonprofit organization deeply engaged in the political process. That's illegal. You cannot run a nonprofit organization that's as deeply involved in partisan politics and retain your tax-free status if you live in a sane society. They should lose their tax-free status, in my opinion. And maybe we'll just find one senator, one congressman who wants to do something honorable. Maybe. MichaelSavage.com has it all. Michael Savage is not the problem. Michael Savage is actually the solution. One-third of Muslim students in UK believe killing for religion is okay. What? And I thought it was a religion of peace. This just came out of England. One-third of Muslim students in the United Kingdom believe killing, I didn't say speaking out, I didn't say defending their religion, killing in the name of a religion is okay. Now, you didn't read that in your local paper. Radical Islam gains ground in campus as guardian.co.uk. A poll is attacked over a claim that one out of three Muslim students say killing in the name of religion is justified. They say it's a controversial poll for Islam on campus. I'm shocked. I'm just shocked that killing in the name of religion is justified by so many Muslims in England. I'm shocked. I was under the impression they all came there to become English. Why, the darts and the pub and the garden and the fence? No, it's the burqa, my friends, and the clitorectomy. Coming to a town near you unless you stand with me. I can guarantee it. If you don't believe it, I guarantee it. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The Middle East has always been a chess game. Our next guest says that our handling of the invasion of Iraq has led to the strengthening of Iran, which creates a problem not only for us, but for the entire region as well. Paul Molshine is a columnist for the Star Ledger. He regards himself as perhaps the sole remaining old-time conservative columnist at a major newspaper in America. And he joins us today to talk about the chess game in Iraq. Paul Molshine, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me on again.
Why is there nobody other than Michael Savage seems to have noticed that we're handing Iraq over to a former terror group?
That's a good question. I mean, I've been writing for several years now about how the Dawah terror group, which we handed control of Iraq over to, they actually invented the suicide car bomb and truck bombed our Kuwait embassy on December 12th, 1983. And and were considered a terror group right through the 90s, along with the other group now running Iraq, the Supreme Council for Islamic Revolution in Iraq. And we put them in charge of Iraq. I think the neocons in the Bush administration obviously didn't plan ahead. But what they ended up with there was deposing Saddam Hussein, who was a garden variety dictator, who really was kind of a local threat, and created this Islamic fundamentalist government in Iraq of Shia, who are allied to the Iranian fundamentalists who run Iran. That's the problem in terms of being a chess game. I wrote, I think, a couple of years ago that it was only a matter of time before Nouri al-Maliki, the prime minister of Iraq, consolidated the Shia hold on Iraq and said, "We got it now. Thanks a lot, George Bush, and you guys can leave." What Maliki now did for Obama is the biggest gift anyone's ever gotten. Here, Obama goes over there with his 16-month withdrawal schedule, and Maliki says, yeah, 16 months sounds about right. So we've really created an awful situation there. I talk a lot with Bob Baer, the former CIA guy who was over there and who really understands the situation there. His basic position is it was a huge flaw to get rid of the Iraqi army. The Iraqi army was the only force that would essentially keep the Shia of Iran and Iraq from running into Saudi Arabia and taking over the oil fields and so forth. He knows a lot more about the region than I do, but his theory is that the grudge goes back to 680 AD between the Shia and the Sunni. And the Shia are looked down on by the Sunni who control Mecca, Saudi Arabia, and all that. And he said it won't be long before you get a little incident. Like he mentioned recently, a Shia girl was gang raped in Saudi Arabia, and the men who did it were all acquitted on the grounds that she was out alone, walking alone, and brought it on herself. An incident like that could cause the Iraqis and the Iranians in the future to unite against Saudi Arabia and go charging down there. That's really the new power alignment that they've created, you know, in the Persian Gulf. They've really turned it over to Iran.
So Iran is the big winner, and Saudi Arabia is the biggest loser here?
Yeah. I think that was Baer's conclusion. And, you know, you got to think about it in terms of, go back to 9-1-1. Who attacked us? Well, it wasn't the Iranians. It wasn't the Shia. It was the Saudi Arabians. So when you step back from it a little bit and you think about revenge for 9-1-1, which, you know, I always think about every time I go to the New York skyline and see those missing buildings, you think, well, gee, deep down inside, if the Shia did overrun Saudi Arabia and eliminate all those Sunni terror groups, Al-Qaeda and so forth, who attacked us on 9-1-1, why would that upset us? Deep down inside, I don't really care if someone else takes over Saudi Arabia. Now, obviously, the Bush administration is very tight with the Saudis, but I personally have no love for the Saudis. And you look at it and you think, is it the worst of all worlds for the Saudis to, at the end of this chess game, be deprived of power? And I wonder if it is. I think the Shia, they are much more of a local threat. It's much more of a local inside game over there than it was with the Sunnis, because the Sunnis in Saudi Arabia, obviously, they took the game to New York City. You know, they're the ones with the real worldwide ambitions. The Shia are more local. Their ambitions are local, and they may be evil, crazed Islamic fundamentalists, but they're evil, crazed Islamic fundamentalists who mainly want to control their own backyard. So I think that's what we have to deal with. I think the next president, whoever it is going to have to start with a clean slate and say, okay, we've created this Shia force there. What do we do with it?
You think a conflict with Iran should be off the table?
Well, these guys may be crazy enough to do it, but you can't win it. These guys had this plan, which if it had worked, they would look like geniuses. First they were going to take Iraq, then that would pressure Iran, and there would be this democratic revolution in Iran, which of course has never happened, and then we were going to go on to Syria. Now, the flaw in their theory was the idea that democracy in that part of the world works in our favor. And the fact of the matter is, you've got countries filled with Islamic fundamentalists. When you give them a free vote, they elect an Islamic fundamentalist government. That's what happened in Iraq. You know, it's now an Islamic republic. It was secular before. Really, that's what happened in Iran. People forget that in 79, they really did have a democratic revolution against the Shah. They elected a nut government of Ayatollahs. They seem to prefer. In a vote, that nut Ahmadinejad beat a moderate in a vote. I think he got 63% of the vote. So the flaw in their theory was this idea that freeing the forces of democracy in the Mideast would work in our favor. And of course, Hamas won in the Palestinian territories. So it was just an awful theory. They did no planning. When you read these guys, they were a bunch of ex-Marxists. the whole neocon movement. As an old-time conservative who studied it, I have to say that the neoconservative movement was based in this Marxist idea of endless liberation of the humans all over the world at the expense of the U.S. taxpayer. And it just was a dismal failure. It was just an awful failure. They're trying to bail it out. They have this idea that if only we bomb Iran, the Iranian public will rise up in our favor. Well, it's not going to happen. I mean, if we bomb Iran, the Iranian public is just going to get mad at us. Oil prices are going to skyrocket, and we will have accomplished absolutely nothing. We'll be in worse shape than we're in right now. So that's why I think the game is over. I think there's nobody, even Bush, as naive as he's been in this whole thing, is not naive enough to attack Iran. I think that's just saber-rattling, and all it's doing is forcing up the price of oil.
Well, so in your opinion, what's the next move?
Well, I think the next move is they've already played their hand, and it's checkmate in the sense that now they're asking us to, I mean, McCain stated, Bush stated that we're there, that when they ask us to leave, we'll leave. Well, now they're asking us to leave. And I think 2 years from now, basically, they'll have consolidated their control. And at that point, we just have to admit that we created this new Shia crescent there in the Persian Gulf, and we have to deal with it. I think we're really going to have to realistically say, you know, go to the Iranians and say, what kind of peace treaty are we going to have here? I mean, we don't want you guys to have nuclear weapons. Let's face it, they know the Israelis can blow them up, so they're probably not crazy enough to go after the Israelis. So I think we have to look at a situation where we pit them, divide and conquer. Basically, we pit them against the Sunnis, and we have to, I think, side with them. Now, the Bush family is too tight with the Saudis to do that. It's funny, you know, when you talk to these CIA guys, and I talked to quite a few of them, they don't like the Saudis. You know, they really are very suspicious of the Saudis. I mean, the Bush administration is very tight with the Saudis at the top, but the intelligence community is very skeptical of the Saudis. And the intelligence community is not all that afraid of the Shia, because the Shia have those local goals that we can deal with, that we can contain. And I think the smart thing to do is divide and conquer and pit the two against each other. I mean, the big mistake the Bush people made was they went after both. First, they declared war on al-Qaeda, which is a Sunni group, and then they declared war on Iraq and put the Shia in power. And I think the intelligent people and the you know, the spies and the military people and so forth probably will give the next president advice on how to sort the thing out.
Well, why do we continue to drain our national treasury on this stalemate?
Yeah, it's a good question about the $12 billion a month we're spending, Mike. At $12 billion a month, $12 billion is a real lot of money for American taxpayers. Almost any big federal program you talk about is, you know, in that order of magnitude. And this is $12 billion a month that's going out to ostensibly democratize and help the people in the Mideast. This is what I mean when I say it's a left-wing socialist movement. Where you're spending $12 billion a month to help foreigners, and it's just a crazy idea. The Europeans are the ones that are getting the royal from it. If the Europeans want to go over there and straighten that part of the world out, let them spend the $12 billion a month. We don't have it. It's just a ridiculous amount of money we're wasting, and the American dollar is down, and the oil price is high, and it's just been a tragic failure in that regard.
Paul Muhlschein, thanks for being on the Savage Nation. The Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com is the website. I have a letter in my hand that I'm considering reading to you on the air. It was sent to us by one of my affiliate directors who could not believe the backstabbing that is going on. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, there are people you think you trust in the media who pretend to be anti-immigrant or pro-American. Well, after I read you this letter, you may have a different opinion. They're just greedy, desperate, talentless hacks. This letter from Chris is the syndicator for Lou Dobbs Radio. And he sent a mass email out to all of my affiliates. I have it in my hand from Lou Dobbs Radio. It says, good afternoon. I've just come across some news about Michael Savage. It doesn't look very good for him. It seems that Autism United has succeeded in securing no air commitments from several huge advertisers. And just the other day, Autism United had more than 100 protesters gathered in front of KNU San Francisco, which is Savage's flagship station. First of all, it was 50. Then he talks about stations that has dropped me. And he says, we don't know how many more are going to be dropping him. Does your radio station really need pickets and angry advertisers? He says, I sure hope not. I strongly advise you look at the lewd and blah, blah, blah. And I'd love to answer any of all of your Q&A. Please give me a shout and thanks. Now, there is the manager of United Stations Radio Network at 1065 Avenue of the Americas, third floor, New York, New York, 10018. And it can be reached at 212. So if you believe everything you hear in radio, and if you believe that all of these people really are on your side, you know what? Think again. At the end of the day, I don't think so. Okay, here we go. The callers on the Savage Nation. Chicago, Illinois. Ed, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hello, Dr. Savage. I've a third-time caller, liberal Democrat. What I called you up for really is I think you have ESP because I think you read my mind. You made a comment a little while ago about Air America Radio, and the reason I called you is I had to turn them off because they have one of these women on who's in love with the sound of her voice and won't let any callers participate. I'm not going to mention her name because most of the women who work for Air America have that problem. But
well, you know, it's unfortunate she doesn't have much of a future because Starbucks also closed about 150 coffee shops. She can't even get a job in a coffee shop after she's through with Air America. Air America was all subsidized by the far-left Democrats. There's nothing wrong with an intelligent liberal. Just find one for me, would you please?
Ed, can I just tell you this, Michael? Here's the problem with Air America, okay? And the one guy that knows it better than anybody is their best talk show host, and that's Ed Schultz. He's not even Air America. He's on these progressive stations. But he said himself they didn't want him on because they didn't consider him liberal enough. And he said, these people are bankrupt. They don't understand the business of radio, and they don't.
I don't even want to talk about them. They're a nonentity. They were funded by the Democrat Party to push the Democrat candidates. And I have many liberal listeners to the show who understand that I give them an alternative in terms of an opinion that is backed up with my facts. Then you can make up your own mind, and I thank you for calling. Houston, Texas. AJ, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, stay on the air. We need you, baby. And I'm going to tell you something. Don't let these suckers mess with you because, Michael, something wrong with America. We done lost our dang old mind. What's wrong with these people, man? Don't they know they destroying our country? I call the Democrats of the day terrorists because they tearing our country apart and they trying to divide. Black folks, I don't understand what the heck's wrong with them. They see what kind of condition black folks in. They know this man Obama ain't going to do nothing for them. They've been in the same predicament ever since JFK, and you got to look in the mirror and get yourself together. What is wrong with these people in America? We dedicate to the criminal more than we got to take the good people like you. What is wrong?
That's right. The media would rather attack me than Ahmadinejad, a man who would set half the world on fire to advance his radical Islamic viewpoint. They make me the bad guy. Why? You and I both know because the chorus boys in television who wear suits and put makeup on every day, those chorus boys have no guts, no heart, no mind, no soul. You know it and I know it. They're a bunch of frauds. Thanks for the call. That's how I see it. And I don't like chorus boys, let me tell you that. In fact, when I went to Jamaica High School, I remember we had a gym teacher who said to us, if we misbehaved, he said, what, do you want to be a chorus boy? In those days, we had real teachers. These were ex-World War II vets, most of them. That's how they talked to us. What, do you want to be a chorus boy? No one wanted to be a chorus boy. Those who did went to San Francisco and became mayors and the supervisors and things like that. Then they decided they didn't even want to be chorus boys. They wanted to be chorus girls. I mean, it's a free country, if you ain't, but that's your business. So here we are. Look at this loser that he picked, Obama. Where'd this guy come from? And the guy is out of Citizen Kane, this Kane. He looks like a character that could only be portrayed in a film noir movie. Oh, I saw a good one the other night. You know, I'm a movie lover. On Saturday, either before the boat or after the boat. And sometimes I got to space out in a movie. I shut the curtains. And I watched a 1952. I think, babe, what was it, The Bad and the Beautiful? It was The Bad and the Beautiful, 1952 with Kirk Douglas And what was her name? I forget the Ava Gardner, whoever, whatever. I don't know the actress, but I knew Kirk Douglas. I always liked him as an actor. So he plays a Hollywood hotshot, and it's called, it's like the life of a heel. Heel, whatever. They don't know what a heel is anymore. Like a nasty, aggressive Gecko kind of character. Kirk Douglas played it in Gecko, remember, in Wall Street? Well, this was an earlier incarnation of that in Hollywood, but it was so much better done. It was astounding, the lighting, the directing, the pacing, but most importantly, the writing. Snappy, quick, 50s dialogue. And it dawned on me that the people were more intelligent in the 50s than they are today. Far more literate. How is it that so many millions of people would go to a movie that was based upon a novel when today they'll go to a movie based upon a comic book? Think about that. Think about the debasement of our society. People will go to a movie based upon a comic book like Batman and line up around the corner. Does that tell you we are a more literate nation or a less literate nation than in the 1950s when people generally only went to high school, if that? How come they were more literate? How come they were more literate in the 40s and 50s that a movie had to have dialogue and pacing to be considered a good drama? And they paid a fortune for novels, and they brought novelists out to write screenplays. Today they get comic book artists to write a screenplay. And why is it that we have people who are less literate today than they were in the 50s? What happened to the country? I'll let you figure it out. But anyway, the movie's good. I think it's The Bad and the Beautiful. I highly recommend it. And it really is a story of a manipulator. But so well done. My God, it really gives you an idea of what a movie can be. If only we had anyone could write like that anymore. I don't think it can get produced, even if they could write like that anymore. New York City, WOR. Tom, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Mr. Savage, how you doing? I just finished reading your book, The Savage Nation, and I understand that you're releasing a new book, and it should be up by the holidays. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, I don't want to spend a lot of time, and it's too early. It's not available, but it's basically, I'm calling it Savage Stories, and it's all the stories I've told you over the years of my family life, going back to childhood all the way through today, 50 or 60 such stories in one volume, and I think people are going to keep this for years, read them to each other, and they're going to hear my voice in it, because it's not going to be edited to sound like any other book. In other words, it's going to sound like me. When you read this book, it's going to have my voice in it, so to speak. You know, One Arm Frank, Fat Al's Tuna, you know, all the stories that you came to love. Have you heard any of these stories over the years? Which ones stick in your mind?
Mr. Savage, I hate to tell you, I'm only 15 years old. I just really recently just got into you. My father, I listened to you on the radio, and
oh, good. Then you're a person who's going to want the book, but I don't want to talk much more about it till it's actually out. Thank you for calling. New York City on WOR. John, you're next up on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Dr. Savage, I just want to comment on these parents protesting radio stations to get you fired. They're nothing more than mindless hypocrites. They're innocent people being led by these liberal advocacy groups that are trying to take you down. And I'll tell you why they're hypocrites, and I hope one or all are listening tonight. Has any one of them taken the time to protest in front of the Chinese embassy or the World Trade Commission offices that are sending millions of toys laden with lead that are causing neurological problems, proven to cause them to their children? They haven't once protested in front of any one of those offices. Secondly,
How come they protested me? Answer, because they were stirred up by the far left Democrat front group Media Matters to think that I don't like children, when in fact the opposite is true. You're 100% right. So there are many things they could be protesting. How come they picked on me? Answer, because they were told to pick on me by the vermin families. But these men hate families. They hate shoddy politics. But you know what? It's a free country. They can do what they want. God sees the truth but waits, and I believe God will punish them for what they're doing in the long run. What would you like to talk about? Don't give up. Okay, Bakersfield. Scott, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
I would just like to let you know that not everybody in America has given up on great literary achievements for movies being made out of books. One of the greatest literary authors of our time, I believe, is Cormac McCarthy. He was the author of No Country for Old Men. The Coen brothers realized that he had a great literary achievement and chose to make it a movie, and it won Best Picture in the Oscars. So
I actually liked that movie. I didn't expect to, because I'm not a big fan of the Coen brothers, but I thought the film was pretty well done. I mean, the idea of killing somebody with the nail gun or whatever it is didn't make sense, but It was well done. It truly was. I liked that kind of movie.
I
wouldn't rank that movie with what I'm talking about with the 1952, The Bad and the Beautiful. I mean, there was hardly any dialogue in No Country for Old Men. It was mainly visual. Long, long scenes, you know, filled with eerie foreboding and then violence. That's not my idea of great literature. It's more like a landscape of the Gobi Desert of the mind. Thanks for the call. What else do you want to talk about here? San Francisco, ding, ding, Dan, welcome to the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Yeah, good afternoon, Michael. I'd like to tell you something. I just came back from a trip across the country. I took, I can't remember the number, the one on the south, came through Mississippi,
Route
Alabama.
Route 66?
I'm sorry?
Route 66?
No, I took one of the super freeways, but I got off in a few places. I went through Dallas, Mississippi, Louisiana. I talked to about 100, you know, a couple hundred people.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. I grew up with a black guy. I know black people. I'm a white guy. Every single person I talked to, and I didn't goad them at all into the conversation, they agree with you on 100%. Not 99,
what,
100.
What, you mean on the drugging of our children and the over-inclusion of too many children in these categories of illness?
Yes, that and everything else. And let me tell you something. I have friends that work in Washington, and they know where Media Matters headquarters are. And I've talked to my friend, and we're going to go back there, and we're going to get one of the senators or congressmen to start subpoenaing these people.
That's right. Remember what I said. If you are a nonprofit organization, you are not permitted to engage in political activities. Now, if Media Matters is not engaging in political activities on behalf of the Democrat Party, I'd like to know who is. They should have their tax-free status withdrawn, and they should be fined for all the money that they've gotten away with spending, receiving without paying taxes on it. And then they have to become a business like any other business, and then they can survive. But as far as I'm concerned, we need a good congressman or senator to investigate, give them a good, vigorous investigation, and find out whether their tax-free status is legitimate or not. That's what I'm hoping will happen eventually. And I hope that the people who have been taking money down will also finally pay taxes on their income. 1-800-449-8255. Amarillo, Texas. Tom, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
The reason I think literary stuff in the 40s and 50s is directly attributable to this media, radio. Loved to listen to the old-time radio programs where they made their point without swearing, cursing, raising their voice, and you had to live it. You had to be there with your mind and experience it. So I think
it's interesting. So the dialogue in the 50s movies, the film noir in particular, was an extension of radio. Is that what you're saying, an extension of the radio plays?
I believe it was. They took that, and they didn't make me blush when I had someone with me.
I hear what you're saying. It's very intriguing, actually. I didn't give it a thought, but I grew up on radio plays, listening to them as a child, and I fully understand what you're saying. But I happen to love the black and white movies of the 50s, most of them, the dramas. And this one was a stunner. This bad. You ever see this one with Kirk Douglas, The Bad and the Beautiful?
I probably did, but I can't call it up.
No, it's like one you wouldn't believe. But it's Lana Turner. She plays the lead, the female lead, the wreck. She's an alcoholic. Her father was a famous actor, and he's dead, and she's the daughter. And I remember one line where he attacks her, and he says to Lana Turner, because he wants her in the movie to be the lead, but she's like a drunk and a runaround. He says to her, your father was a drunk, so you're a drunk. Your father liked women, so you sleep with everyone in town. I mean, he was throwing cold water in her face. You know, it was so abrupt, so cruel, so hard, that it was worth watching. It was an amazing movie. I don't know why anyone can't write like this anymore.
I don't either. I love those programs, and my favorite, the black and white, was High Noon.
Mm-hmm. Okay, my friend, thank you. It's a sideshow that we're talking about here. Pennsylvania. Dave, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I want you to quit bashing my president.
Why? What, do I live in the Soviet Union? You mean everything he does, I have to agree?
No, but he's a good American, and he's a Christian. That should be good enough reasons.
It isn't good enough. He's the most horrendous president in American history. Who gave him the right to send $48 billion to Africa without a vote? You?
A lot of congressmen and a lot of people were behind him. Now, I'm not
so saying, you're a liberal Democrat socialist. That's why you like Bush. I can understand that.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. You have to be a liberal Democrat or a socialist to like George Bush right now. What about the bailout of Freddie Mae and Freddie Mac? You like that deal? The biggest bailout in American history? You think that's conservative?
No, I don't. But I think you're missing the mark here. You can tell all the people in the country all these facts and everything, but if they don't believe them or if they can't put it together for them, they're never going to follow you or believe you. You got to start giving them milk, and you got to start at the basic stuff to get to them. I just think.
But now you're mixed. Now you're mixed up. Now you're already mixed up like a top. You're spinning like a top. You came on and said, stop bashing my president because he's a Christian. That is the most absurd statement I've ever heard in my life. Mussolini was a Christian also. So what does that have to do with anything? Thanks for the call.
Savage.
What a nation of everybody's got an axe to grind and a wimp. You say one word already. They twist everything you say. Everyone's injured and hurt and they want an apology. Who could live in a free country when every word you say could be twisted out of context and used against you? What kind of free country is that? That's freedom of speech? And I'll remind you something else. Let me remind you something else. The First Amendment was written to protect speech that you disagree with, not to protect speech that you don't disagree with. The First Amendment was protected to protect offensive speech. But many of you have been so brainwashed that you think it's supposed to protect the kind of speech you hear from the chorus boys on television. The nice-looking boys, the ones who wear suits, the ones who put their makeup on before going on the air, the ones who say nothing about everything, the ones who are the chorus boys of television. They don't need the First Amendment. They could have survived in the Soviet Union of 15 years ago. They could have survived in the Soviet Union of 50 years ago. No, the chorus boys don't need the First Amendment. I need the First Amendment. But you know what? You need the First Amendment as well. And those of you who are attacking me are fools, because you won't even go on to michaelsavage.com and download what I actually said. Your mind was made up because you are prejudiced and you are brainwashed. And you want to hate somebody for your tragedy. Well, don't hate me. You're directing at the wrong people. The people you should hate are in Media Matters. You'll find out eventually I'm right. Media Matters are the people who stirred you up. They're using you and your poor child to try to destroy freedom in America. God bless America. And with God's will and your listenership, Michael Savage shall always return. Just remember that. I'll be here long after they are. Guarantee it. Take it to the bank.
Savage.